public hearing on transport law repeal bill. We are processing the transport laws repeal bill, where we seek to discuss and arrive at a decision of repealing the laws that are no longer relevant in terms of our transport. And the process allows for members, for public, to make a presentation to the portfolio committee before we then take a decision. And we have invited those people and organizations that have made a written submission and also indicated that they would make presentations in front of the portfolio committee. And included in the list is a submission by Mr. Peggy Zenzo Ngobese, who is presenting that in his personal capacity. We will also have an input by the Department of Transport, represented by Advocate Masombuka. Transnet has also indicated that they would make a presentation, and they would be represented by Mr. Vuyo Kasa and Mr. Petra Bauer. We also have in our midst the input by the Department of Transport law drafters, the legal opinion by the state law advisors and the department legal advisor on the submissions received. Thereafter, we will then deliberate and arrive at a decision. May I then take this opportunity to welcome Mr. Peggy Zenzo Ngobese and also say to him that you are not going to be crucified here. You are not going to be asked questions that are asked to people that are coming to us. We sometimes get comments by members of the public that portfolio committees, members of portfolio committees are very short in terms of questions that they ask. We only do that when we are dealing with people that are accounting to us, because we have to hold them accountable in terms of the effectiveness of their programs as well as the financial resources that they look after. But when we are getting submissions from members of the public, we ask questions that seek to clarify what informs what they are submitting, because they are also part of the communities we serve that influence the policies that we develop in this institution. So we will not be at ease if they will say makaya ngabe sesikhumule bathi manje ukhululeke. But before we continue with our meeting, I would also want to announce in this meeting that the Minister for Transport, Honorable Susan Sondebele, lost her sister last week, who had been ill and who was admitted when he was away on the trip to China between the 24th. When he came back to the country, her sister was already in hospital in the ICU. She passed away on Saturday morning. then after, before we start, we remember his family and observe the moment of silence. Can we do that? Thank you. Yes, Uncle Beth, I welcome you.
Honorable chairpersons and committee members, good morning. I wish to thank you very much for affording me this opportunity. After acknowledging my submission, my submission is based on the experience, my everyday experience since 1986. When I first got my license. By then it was the road traffic ordinance until we are having this new act, which is number 93 of 1996, National Road Traffic Act number 93 of 1996. In particular, here is section 59, which regulates the speed limit. What is happening, what I've seen, is that the traffic is not flocking. There is no flow of traffic at all. The congestion that we are experiencing daily, hourly, the vehicles cannot overtake one another after reaching the speed limit of 120. The traffic volume has increased. As South Africa is steadily growing, we see trucks from neighboring countries, and those trucks are driving. You can say that these people are not familiar with South African traffic laws. Because sometimes you pass them, you find them flocking parallel next to each other. They are not overtaking, but just driving like this. That is another cause of traffic congestion. Heavily loaded vehicles, even small vehicles, that cannot cope with the speed of 120. Prior 1996, up to 1996, the road infrastructure was different. Today we are witnessing a very good road infrastructure which was not there prior or during 1996. Even the vehicles that we are using nowadays are faster, more powerful. There is also these other drivers who just drive. They get into the road, they drive. The keep left, pass right policy, I mean the rule, seems to have been forgotten. This act, in particular this section 59, I view it as not doing its work in encouraging the free flow of traffic. When you see the traffic vehicle coming from behind with the lights on, that officer is not coming to rescue the situation. He's only making his way through. Because I believe there is nothing which binds him to look into the situation to see what could be the cause of the congestion there. He's just making his way to his or her destination. Then we are left with this congestion on the road. So it is my opinion that this law should be repealed and be replaced with one which will focus on the free flow of traffic. I say this can be achieved by increasing the speed limit from 120 being made minimum and 160 being the maximum. I believe that this will allow the free flow of traffic. Vehicles can overtake one another. Because there is this situation, when you reach 120, that is a deadlock. You can't go any further. They will just flock like this. But with this difference, 120, 160, I believe that vehicles will be free to overtake one another. And maybe some lanes can also be reserved, like 120, they keep far left. Then 160, 140, far right and the middle lane, depending on how many lanes are there. But this is on the open road only. Then when it comes to the speed cameras, I still believe that the local municipalities are still going to benefit there, because there is a lot of vehicles that drive below speed limit and those above speed limit. If a vehicle drives below speed limit, those vehicles, according to me, should be penalized for obstructing the free flow of traffic. And those driving above, it's obvious, for exceeding speed limit. And if needs be, vehicles, those driving below 120 should be inspected for roadworthiness. If the vehicle is in good condition, is roadworthy, then the problem could be with the driver. He too will have to be penalized for that, for obstructing the free flow of traffic. In short, I would say this is my submission, as the points are on the. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I will now open for members to ask questions of clarity or make comments. Honorable Jerry, followed by Honorable Baro and Honorable Professor.
Thank you, Chatese.
Thank you.
That of the Givenzo, I tend to agree with you at some point. These trucks, as you say, sometimes have a tendency of not running parallel, running one behind the other one. We told you there are three trucks in a lane. It's difficult to overtake, really, because there should be space in between, so that if you overtake, you overtake one truck, but overtaking three trucks. But now, don't you think at least transport has improved somehow? There are those open roads sometimes. You find that the trucks are driving to the left, and we are, with cars, we are able to overtake, and then it closes again. I don't know if you understand me. Yeah. They allow that in every open road. That's what the Department of Transport has done. When it comes maybe to a steep hill, or sometimes in an open road, they open the lanes to trucks, and then the cars, and then the crews. Don't you think at least that is better, there is an improvement? And secondly, 160 is over. I don't you think maybe if you say 140, hey, 160, I'm a father, go to again. That's what you say. Maybe it will go to 160, I don't know. But I understand the frustration on the road. It is there. And it's not because we don't understand, or we don't. Every time we make improvements. But thank you very much for your submission. Thank you.
Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Gobese, first of all, I just wanted to get clarity. Your submission relates to an additional appeal. We are currently sitting here today to discuss this bill, which is before us, which relates to certain other acts that are appealed. You are looking at Act 196, or 1996, Act 93 of 96. So this is an additional submission, as I understand it. Am I correct, first of all? I just wanted that other words, on what basis do you see the increase of traffic? I mean, I understand your logic, but I mean, have you got some statistical facts to support the case that by increasing, for instance, road speeds from 120 to 160, that effectively there will be a reduction in the number of fatalities, accidents, which would be a direct assumption out of your presentation here today? So what I'm trying to establish from you, on what basis did you substantiate this particular submission? Because from my own personal knowledge, and I'm not for 1 minute pointing out that I'm an expert, my understanding is that speed kills. And if you look at some of the statistics that were reflected in that old dark era when we were still having sanctions in this country, remember when everyone had to reduce speeds because of fuel saving measures and all that sort of nonsense, the effect of that was, if you look in that particular year, there was something like a 25% reduction in road deaths, which then says to me that possibly reduction of speed or control and management of speed is maybe what you are trying to establish here, not increasing speed to avoid certain peril type running of vehicles on the road, which is a dangerous situation when you have two vehicles sitting like that, especially if the vehicle isn't powerful enough to be able to overtake at certain inclinations and change in the vertical elevation of roads. So those are questions I'd like you to give us clarity on. The one being first the issue whether this is a new, totally new submission, and secondly whether you have any facts to substantiate.
Thank you, Chairperson. To the first question, I don't have statistics with me to substantiate my point. But during those years, during the sanction times, I agree that there was a reduced, the number of accidents, fatalities were lower. But since 1996 up to now, there is a lot of development. A lot of things have happened. Maybe I would say we cannot dwell much in the past. The law sounds outdated, does not keep up with the developments that we are experiencing. But at the same time, I wish to point out to make it clear that I am not encouraging recklessness on the road. It is all about free flow of traffic. Uh, 160 may be too much for some. 140 is much better. But really, it is not about promoting recklessness on the road. The issue here with me is that we are not moving on our roads. And during 1996, or during the times of sanctions, there were no more cars. The cars were not as many as they are today. We are really developing very, very fast. I feel that really the law should be repealed somehow, to, no matter what is happening, but to allow this free flow of traffic, this congestion. Some people are sick on the road. They fall sick, diabetes on the road. The person is stuck. You can't move anywhere. They become frustrated. You try to do something, that is when you cause an accident. On the point of as an additional submission, I thank you. I wish to thank the committee and the chairperson for, again, acknowledging my submission. I understand that it is an additional one, but thank you for giving me the opportunity for acknowledging this submission of mine.
before I give Honorable De Freitas to ask a question, I would want to address this the following issue. The first issue is that I am very much encouraged by a real public participation for an ordinary member of the public who does not represent any institution, who comes from the deep rural areas of Melmoth, to come to Parliament and make a presentation. Thank you very much, Mr. Ngobese, for your courage. But I also want to say to members, particularly on the question of the statistics, which also Mr. Ngobese has honestly responded to. In community development training, there is what is called experiential learning, and there is what is called participatory research. And that takes into account that we don't, all of us, come from the same historical background. Our situations are different. Even the people that have got degrees today and have got honors and written thesis, the very same research that they would conduct using scientific tools is conducted in communities that do not use scientific tools to share that information with them. The communities use their experiences. And then those that are in the academic field interpret that information using the scientific tools. So I am saying, Mr. Ngobese, to you, again, the fact that you don't have statistics does not necessarily mean that you don't see what is happening on our roads. You are referring to the experience that you have come across, and that is how communities relate to conditions. And in community development, we call that experiential learning and participatory research. It is allowed, it is used as a tool of informing the direction and influencing policy. Now, on the issue of this submission that is made by Mr. Ngobese, which does not necessarily deal with the bill that we are currently discussing. The submission, however, relates to what we have been discussing in the portfolio committee, to which we have not arrived at a situation where we are saying we are calling for public submissions or going to communities to test what their views are in relation to the speed and accidents that are happening in South Africa. We have had presentations from the entities that are under the Department of Transport, where we would also question the issue of the speed. How does it impact on the accidents that we are experiencing in the country? We have also raised questions around the issue of congestion. And maybe when we are conducting further discussions, we would, on those issues, we would revisit the submission that is being tabled to us. But I would want us to separate those two issues. But also say that this is not a submission that we can then say it doesn't belong to this discussion that we are discussing today, and therefore we chuck it out. We cannot chuck out this submission. It is an important submission. It needs to form debate of to be part of the debates that we will be engaging in dealing with the issues of congestion and the road accidents. So that is my way of looking at how we would treat the submission. But having said that, I will still open an opportunity for Honorable Defectors to ask his question.
Thanks, dear. I think you've covered basically what I was going to say. That is, it was just differentiate between the bill that we're looking at and this proposal, and just treat them as two separate matters. And this would be a separate discussion, if you like. Thank you.
Can we then close the discussion on the submission of Mr. Ngobese by saying that we are taking this submission as a separate submission? We are going to park it, and then we will bring it in when we are discussing the issues of accidents and road congestion in our country and the speed limit, because we are also moving towards that direction. Will that satisfy you?
Yeah, but Chambers. Yeah, but.
Ekwenzweni nje ngicela ukubonga kakhulu Ngobese. Ngiyabonga kakhulu ukuthi uthathe isikhathi sakho wabhala, wathatha isikhathi sakho futhi weza la njenganelunga lomphakathi kusuka endaweni ekude kangaka le eMelmont KwaZulu-Natal. Siyafisa ukuthi babe khona abantu bakithi abezayo uma kunemithetho esiyidingidayo, ngoba imithetho eshaywa yilesi shayamthetho isuke izothinta izimpilo zabo. Kanjalo futhi nokuthi beze nje abantu bakithi bazokwethula izethulo zabo ezizokwenza ukuthi sikwazi ukubuka izinto bona abazibonayo, abafisayo ukuthi sizifakele ihlo lokhozi, sikwazi futhi nokuzishintsha. Siyabonga kakhulu. Uma uthanda babo sengahlala ulalele, uma ngabe uthanda futhi usungakhululeka. Siyabonga kakhulu ngokuza kwakho. Can we then move to input by the Department of Transport, Advocate Matombo?
Thank you, Chairperson, and morning, honorable members. I would also like to appreciate the fact that one of the members of the public has made an input in one of our way of doing business in the department. We have already noted the concern raised by the member of the public in his submission. We have already raised it with the line function in the department that deals with the road transport regulations, and they said there is some kind of a policy change or amendment of the National Road Traffic Act, you will have to look into that and see whether, or make further research on the submission of Mr. Ngobese and come up with a proper conclusion on it. It is true what has been said by other honorable members that it is best to treat this submission separate from the discussion of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Advocate Masombuga. Can we then get the presentation from Transnet? Stay here.
Chairperson, Mr. Pietra is here, but he was waiting for his CEO to arrive because similar the presentation will be made by the CEO himself. Mr. Pietra is here. He's also coming from Transnet, but the presentation was to be done by his CEO.
We can have a comfort break for 5 minutes while we talk for them. Thank you. Good morning, Transnet delegation. We have Mr. Vuyo Khatla, the chief executive officer, and Mr. Petra Bau, who is the chief specialist in regulatory analysis in Transnet. Welcome to you, gentlemen. We are ready to receive a submission from Transnet on the Transport Laws Repeal Bill. Over to you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Chair. Thanks for allowing us the opportunity to make a very, very brief presentation. Firstly, we apologize that we've made the submission pretty late than we should have, and we do thank you for having indulged us. Ours is really a technical submission relating to some consequences we believe might not have been intended in respect of a number of certain agreements. We've had discussions with the legal advisors of the Department of Transport. There isn't any dispute around an appropriate mechanism to deal therewith. And I'll just ask Dr. Petra Boa to just point out the salient elements of the issues that we've raised. Thank you.
Thank you, Che. Che, I think what has always been in agreement with the department and also the Law Commission is that the agreements can stand on their own. Now, these agreements preceded a commitment by the then government through its railway administration to construct certain pieces of railway lines. And what is important is that in each of the four acts that we mentioned in the submission, there is a section that says that, first of all, the agreement between the government through its railway administration and then the particular other party, and I'll quickly refer to those parties in a moment, are first of all ratified. So it was a ratification of a particular agreement basically between the former government and certain private parties for the construction. And then, very important, that particular provision empowers the railway administration to execute those agreements. Now, those powers were then transferred at some stage to the former South African Transport Services, SATS, as it was referred to in those days, and ultimately it became vested in Transnet Limited through the Legal Succession Act. So the main contention is not so much the agreement that is attached to these four acts, but the empowerment provision, which is the foundation and the source of our powers to actually execute those contracts. Now, if regard is had to the list of the four acts, the Railway Construction Act of 1966 was with the Highveld Steel and Vanadium Corporation, which is the steel factory there close to Immersloss-Leni. So those entities are still in existence. And the particular rights in terms of these contracts all have a duration of 50 years, which means that in the latter act, that's the 1960 act, those rights will lapse in 2016. In respect of the 1965 act, it will lapse in 2015. And in respect of the 1963 act, it will lapse in 2013. And in respect of the 1961, it will lapse next year, 2011. So it's only those four acts that we've identified. The other acts, we've through our engagements with the Law Commission and the Department of Transport, we felt that those rights have been spent. But these are particular acts that have actually attached certain agreements that found, that informed those particular authorizations to build those railway lines. Thank you.
Can we have now the discussion of the submission by Transnet? Honorable Ngwenya Mabila, followed by Honorable
Chairperson. Is just to understand it correctly on this agreement. Because if the agreements are attached to the indicated acts, then on the other side, the legal advice is that can continue with the repeal. The act will be on the agreements will be on their own. How is that going to happen? So that when we agree the committee to repeal the act, we are sure that there are no loopholes around the repeal.
Want me to respond to it?
Thanks, Jay. I'd be actually interested to hear what the department has to say, because reading on their response, I understand sort of the response that they've given on this submission, is that they disagree with what Transnet is proposing. So I'd like to hear what the department is saying, because from what I listen to Transnet, it seems to make sense what they're saying. So I'd be interested to hear why they disagree. Thank you.
Can we have the...
Thanks.
The department.
Thanks, Chairperson. We have discussed this morning together with the members from Transnet, and they have put their position to us, and we've reconsidered our position. Chairperson, you'll recall that in this particular bill, we are not coming up with the new law. We are intending to do away with the law that is no longer of any purpose. This is a legal technical argument in the sense that a valid agreement will always remain valid irrespective of the law that is imposing it. Therefore, that is why I'm saying it's a legal technical argument that can be put before this particular committee. But for purposes of certainty, especially because these agreements are still existing. We came to the conclusion that especially because these particular agreements are expiring in 2011, 2013, and 2016, and a statutory law review is done every year. So it means even next year, we can, when we amend another act, we can amend that particular act in repealing the act of 2011 once this agreement has expired. So in 2013 also, we can do a repeal of this particular law. So whether it remains in, legally speaking, or whether we remove it, it doesn't make any difference. But for certainty purposes, that's what made us to agree with Transnet to say we can hold on with these four acts up until this agreement or the rights emanating from these agreements are exercised completely. Thank you.
Argument that's now sort of been reversed, then I would say that we just need to know what mechanisms need now to take place to remove those four bills from the repeal bill. There is something that has to now go through the legal process in order for the chairperson to declare that these are going to be effective amendments where they will now be subsequently removed from the original bill, and then we can afterwards, when we finish any other hearings, agree or disagree to the bill. So I'm just worried now about the implications from here, because I would agree with what you say, because if Highveld Steel, for instance, is still around as it is, they could have recourse somewhere along the line, and rather than have that and to go into any form of litigation of any sort, because people are good at picking up, you know, bits and pieces of things of this nature, and I would think that it could cause embarrassment. So rather leave it and let it come out, you know, in 2011, 14, 16, whenever that case. That would be my approach to the matter, now that we've listened to the arguments, and I think that the department's quite right in doing what they are by agreeing to consider removing them.
Are there any other comments?
Yes. Chairperson, just two remarks. First of all, on the way process, for what would be required is just to draft a version of the bill amendments, just deleting those four entries. We can even assist the departmental officials with that just hereafter. That's the first thing, so I can assist the officials in that regard. Secondly, I think what the Honourable Member said, and that's part of it, legally you can stitch the argument to say, but you can dispense with it, but members must be conscious of the fact that it's extremely difficult these days to get hold of copies of old acts because of movements of administration. I'm not saying it's not there, but what happened is that when new provinces were set up, certain libraries were packed away in boxes that have never been unpacked, to such an extent that I've actually undertaken to provide the department with PDF copies electronically of some of the construction acts that we've traced. And also these four acts which I've traced the hard copies of, and I'll provide the department copies thereof. And from that sense, to trace back legal rights is extremely difficult. So even from a legal certainty point of view, I think that's important, because we must, if I can just re-emphasize that fact, the agreement was reached between the government of South Africa and a private party. We're now a private company, albeit owned by the state, but we've inherited rights and powers through legislative working, and to follow that trail back to this particular provision, I think that is where the legal certainty is coming in. Thank you, Chair.
With the presentation of a revised, say let's call it a bill, but there's still a process that we've got to go through and agree to here as a quorum of this portfolio committee, agreeing then somehow in some wording which the chairperson will get right with, I'm sure, with the secretariat there, to agree that if we do agree, that we then from this bill remove those four acts in the list of repeal. And that's what I'm thinking of, the formalities from this side, not so necessarily I understand the aid type bullying that could take place now, but it's still got to be formalised here, and that's the question now. There is some sort of approach.
Okay. I would like to hear the views of the ANC in terms of this 4F being removed from the transport loan repeal bill. Honorable Mark.
Thank you, Chairperson. For the first time, I agree with the opposition.
Do you agree as an individual or the AUN?
No, I was saying myself.
Not because it's the DA that has moved the motion. I would agree because it's objective and productive.
I should also think that because we are, there is a, we have time constraints in relation to the amount of work that we need to do before we break for constituencies. I would then propose that we move to the issue of deliberation of the bill, clause by clause.
No, Madam Chair, having now received the anonymous support of the Portfolio Committee, I would propose that we consider the bill and that with the exclusion of Act 57 of 1961, the Railway Construction Act of 1961, Act number 58, 1963, the Second Railway Construction Act of 1963, Act number 5 of 1965, Railway Construction Act of 1965, and Act number 17 of 1966, Railway Construction Act of 1966. With those moves, I move adoption.
Honorable Faro has moved for the adoption of the Transport Laws Repeal Bill with the amendment of removing Act number 57 of 1961, the Railway Construction Act, and Act number 58 of 1963, the Second Railway Construction Act, and Act number 5 of 1965, the Railway Construction Act, and Act number 17 of 1966, the Railway Construction Act. Is there any seconder for the Honorable Mabila?
Chairperson, I Phumzile Ngwenya Mabila. Second Honorable Member Faro.
proposal put forward by Honorable Farrow has been seconded by Honorable Gwenya Mabila. Is there any party or member opposed to the proposal?
I am strongly opposed to objection.
It is failing to cope. Thank you. Okay. The report of the Portfolio Committee on Transport. Having considered the subject of Transport Law Repeal Bill, B19-2010, National Assembly, Section 75, dated the 7th of September 2010. The Portfolio Committee on Transport, having considered the subject of the Transport Law Repeal Bill, B19-2010, National Assembly, Section 74, refers to it and classified by the joint tagging mechanism as a Section 75 bill, reports that it has agreed the bill with amendments. I have done it, man. The amendment bill. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to just request the committee to allow us, when we draft the amendment, to correct the two typos that we just picked up as part of the amendment. And the one typo is at the bottom of page 3. Page 3, yes, from 5 lines up from the bottom, S61 of 1981. Second Railway Construction Act 1980, which is supposed to say 1981. And then on page 5 in Schedule 2, the third act there is Act 49 of 1949. Under extent of repeal, it reads the repeal of section 10 and 14 instead of repeal of section 10 and 14. So I'd like to include S. Yes. The inclusion of the S. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Great. And that concludes the business of the committee.
Is there still going to be a necessity to meet? I'm just wondering because we still haven't been notified formally, although it appears in the meetings.
We are dealing with the annual report tomorrow as the notices are out. There is still a meeting of the portfolio committee tomorrow, but we are dealing with the annual report. There is still a meeting of the portfolio committee tomorrow.
9.
We are dealing with the annual report.
I think the problem that we are having, we are serving in two committees. So the other groups are sitting. For instance, rural development on my side is sitting tomorrow. Everyone is sitting. I don't know whether it's only myself that is being affected.
Even myself, Shepherd from the human settlement is sitting every Wednesday, 9 o'clock.
who explain Alan. Remember what the governor program that was presented here, which has the 7 or 8 bills. But also in the meeting of the staff, we were alerted to the fact that we need to finalize annual reports before the break for a recess, and we are breaking on the 17th. The usual process is that we would get the annual report and then discuss it. And if in the annual report we feel that there is a need for us to invite entities to come and account, then we have to do that. And in view of our slot, we are only having Tuesday next week. And we are expected to finalize the issue annual report before we break. Failing which, it would mean that we would break having not finalized and then come back to process that before the first of October. And the reason then we applied for sitting on Wednesday was because already it had been decided here that we would be sitting on Wednesday processing and having the public hearing. Then the question that I'm asking is, if we were going to have public hearings tomorrow, as we had agreed here, how are you going to participate in those committees when we were going to have public hearings? Honorable Gwenya Mabin.
Chair, I think if we have agreed on that program that included the Wednesday on my side, I think it was a mistake. Because my understanding is that the Transport Committee sits every Tuesday. There's no other day. Because committees are grouped according to yes. So if the Transport is sitting on Wednesday, it means that other members will be affected. So if we adopted such a program, I think it was a mistake, because according to me, Transport sits every Tuesday and every Wednesday I'm expected to, because I'm not alternating. I think that is what the Office of the Chief is trying to sort out, because they've indicated that all the members who are serving full time in two committees, they must indicate that. Maybe they are trying to sort out that problem, because I'm not alternating rural development. I'm a full-time member in that committee. So if we adopted such a program that on Wednesday we'll be having public hearing, I think it was a mistake. But furthermore, Chair, if tomorrow we're saying that we're expected to deal with the annual report, I don't know whether other members have received that, the annual report copy, because when receiving the annual copy, you need to have sufficient time to look at, to read the copy, make the analysis before the meeting. So if by now I don't have that copy, I don't know whether other members have received it. By now, maybe some of us don't have that copy. It means that you're coming to the meeting for the sake of coming to the meeting, not being ready for the meeting. But I would propose, Chair, that if, because it will be impossible, next week we're dealing with the school of transport thing. Okay. According to my invitation, it's what we need. Right? Yeah.
We came here to advise Ukuthi we should prioritize legislation. Nama report. We indicated to programming Ukuthi we have a report on the study talk to China and we have a transport law repeal bill. We were then asked to look at which dates we would require to process the bill. We said we would require Tuesday and Wednesday because we anticipated there would be submission which we would listen to today and then tomorrow we would consider the bill, which is why we applied for 2 days. After receiving that information, we were then advised by the Parliamentary Liaison Officer that in actual fact we have to finalize the annual report before the 1st of October. And if before the 1st of October leaves us with only 2 weeks, it is this week and next week. That then informed us we needed to restructure ourselves according to the time that is left for us to deal with the bill and deal with the annual report. The logic thing to do, sitting in the management committee, was that what are the dates that the committee has agreed, has been allowed to sit? The committee has been allowed to sit on the 7th and the 8th. How many submissions have we received? We have received only 2 submissions. How long does it take us then to process 2 submissions and the bill? It will only take us 2 days. And then we have been allowed to sit on the 2nd day, which is the 8th. Therefore, we did not need to come back and ask because we had already agreed on that, that we are sitting on the 8th. All that we needed to do at the staff management was to take that date and then utilize it for the annual report because we had already agreed anyway. But we had also, because we did not know the information about the annual report, notices that we're talking about this, the scholar transport had already gone out, but that changed to say we will not do the scholar because we have no pressure to finish the scholar transport, but we have pressure to finish the annual report. If staff meeting sits on Wednesday after a portfolio committee says, and Honorable Ngwenyama, you are part of the staff management. You were not in the meeting, which is why when you are contradicting it is in the management. So but also issue like a point of departure should not be that we sit in other committees because we had already agreed. If we were processing a mass hearing tomorrow, how are we going to process those hearings? If we had agreed that we are sitting, having not taken consideration of the fact that we serve in other committees. Honorable
Chairperson, Chairperson, I would suggest that we sit on Friday.
The DA is in a different position in that we're not more than one committee. But my concern is what was mentioned earlier is that we haven't received the report yet. And it's usually over 200 pages long. And I like coming personally prepared to meetings, and it would mean that I would have to
night to read the report. So that's my concern, is how prepared are the members and the committee going to be in accessing the report? So I perhaps we should be creative, maybe meet on Friday or discuss it. Thanks, Chair.
I have a different view. That takes into consideration that members have not received the report. That instead of meeting on a Friday, we meet next week on Tuesday, and then we apply that day. We come back on the week of the 25th to engage with the entity, because if we were to apply that when Parliament closes, we then meet on the following week. The ANC members will not be able to attend because there is a National General Council of the ANC. So let us allow that week to go, and then we apply that we come back and meet on the committee after the National General Council, so that we meet the deadline of October 3rd.
I don't have a problem meeting any time if it's something that has to be done in terms of meeting, you know, the deadlines. I'm just saying now, if I look at my diary already for that recess period, I mean, it's already filled up. I'm going to be in Bloemfontein, I'm going to hear this. So we would need to make a decision tomorrow on that date, so that we make sure that everybody has got, you know, the thing diarised, that we can make bookings and get down here, because it's outside of the parliamentary sitting. And I don't have a problem, but you know, because we have to do the work. We expected to present our reports, and therefore, either, you know, if we're going cold tomorrow, I mean we have got it electronically. I must say, I don't know, most members should have the report electronically. Yeah, I did as well, but it's very difficult to actually make you know, to print that out, 275 pages in colour. If you haven't got the relevant equipment, it's going to be very costly for us as members. I mean, you know, it'll take up just about a cassette, you know. But what I would suggest is that, you know, if we go in tomorrow, we're going to have to go through it, you know, as though we're reading and presenting it in the same sense. Now, the question is going to be whether there will be sufficient quorum here. I understand that from the ANC point of view, there might be duplications, they might have to attend other meetings, but maybe we should just see that who is available. Is it everybody, or is it just one or two? You know, I'm not too sure exactly how many it affects it. So if we can establish that, I'm just trying to think ahead, because this thing is not a case of where we can finish it in a matter of, you know, 2 hours sitting here. It's going to be a long session, and we're going to have to go through it with a tooth comb, and from there derive what you've suggested as to the key agencies that we need to call back. That could be 3 or 4 out of the 12 or so that we have. So time is of an element on the one hand, and I understand that. So I'm ready. I mean, even if we have to consider an evening meeting, I don't know. You know, I'm prepared to do anything to make sure that we get our job done. Otherwise, the fingers will be pointing at us in not completing our work.
Comrade Chair, there are two suggestions, that we come back or we do it on Friday.
Let's just find the majority. I think the majority is let's come back. That other one.
Can I repeat what I propose? I propose that we get the presentation on the 14th, which is next week, by the department. Yes. We get the copies of the report tomorrow, hard copies, not just the electronic version. We get the hard copies. don't see tomorrow, we read the report. We then get the presentation from the department. We engage with the department on the 14th. We break for recess. Okay. We get the report tomorrow. We apply today for sitting after the entrance of the EMC, which will allow us to get the report. We get the report tomorrow. We get a presentation from the department. We engage the department on the phone. They go away. We sit on our own also to identify the entities that we would need to invite on the board. We invite those entities because we shall have identified how many entities need to come in front of us. On the 14th again, we decide on the number of days that we would require to process the annual report. And then we inform, because our sitting would have been approved in principle. We would then now apply with a specific date. We will utilize those days that we would have applied for to engage with the entities and also consider the report, the annual report, with the report of the entities. So if the entities that we would engage are two, we will utilize one day. And then the second day, we will be considering the report on our own day, not agency, and not department, the committee. And that, yeah, other days, we will decide the number of days that we are going to be thinking on after Tuesday, and immediately after the meeting, we will then inform the programming as to how many days we require. As for now, we are not going to apply for sitting after the entry. That's a principal agreement. Thank you.
We've received two notices for the 14th and 15th. So is that 15th still on or not? No. So we are cancelling two Wednesdays now. That's tomorrow and the 15th. Okay.
We are sticking to a Tuesday. The only time we can have another day of sitting is during the recess when there is no committee to work and there is no plenum. Thank you very much.
Yeah, how are you?
If the poison.
Yeah.